faith in Christ Jesus, usually in its perfect form, is transit. It's in transit. It's not in church. Most of the people who come to the Lord in the world do not come to church, do not come to the Lord in church. All of your apostles and disciples never came to church. Amen? It's by word of mouth. It's the gospel. Amen? Now, most of us on the American side of this thing probably did come to faith in church. But most of the world came by somebody sharing the gospel where they operate in. Amen? Y'all are looking at me like I got two heads, but I'll say this. If you effectively share the gospel, you will find you'll be more effective in the world than you will at church. If you will be obedient to the Holy Spirit and speak to people when you see the need, like the song was saying, I see her, right? God gives you prompts all the time. I mean, he'll give you a prompt on somebody, and if you're obedient to it, you won't even realize you're speaking. And when you all of a sudden you'll say something, and it'll go deeper and harder into their heart and soul than you could ever imagine. And next thing you know, you're leading them to Christ or praying with them or meeting a need that might ultimately bring them to Christ, but then also could bring them to church, because they're not going to be like, wait a minute, somebody cares about me. Amen. This happens to me a lot of times, so it's very, very good. And I'll tell you, in our part of the thing is usually in your restaurants or your shopping places. Those people are hurting, man. Your servers, the people that are checking you in and out, if you just take a minute and share any kind of love or compassion, you'll have a ministry on your hands before you know it. So. I thought about that when I was preaching this morning. Man, when you preach in the morning time, Sunday morning service, it seems like a fire hydrant comes on. You can't cut it off. But I love in that one place where he says he sent the word unto them. The foolish people, the people that were at the gate, right at the shadow of death. And he sends the word to them. Don't that seem so insignificant sometimes? Like, have you ever felt like you're so insignificant about... Like you're saying, man, why would I share that with this person? But then you've got to get in your own mind and remember, wait a minute, that's the only reason I came to faith is because somebody shared it with me. The Word of God is powerful. Amen? Just because it's not powerful as a whole, like in a group, like you say something in a group, and like, you know, there's 100 people there, and all of a sudden 100 people go, oh, man, forget you, and they all walk away. You don't know how many people individually that affected, right? But like when you share the gospel one-on-one, man, you could change somebody's life. It's deep, right? So anyway, so let's go to verse 37. We'll try to get as much in this as we can. My ultimate goal is to get to verse 42. 42 is the place that I want to kind of minister from tonight, but I don't know if we make it there or not. I hope so. Verse 37 says, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Are y'all seeing that? That's when John said, behold the Lamb of God. These are John the Baptist's disciples. He's turning them over to Jesus, right? He's giving them, like, all right, no longer following me, you're following Jesus. Now I want y'all to get this in your mindset. They're going to follow Jesus, and they take off following. First of all, Jesus is still going, and they're following. It's not like he stops and makes a big, oh, I'm glad you came to me. He just keeps walking, and that's amazing in itself. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? It's kind of a question of like, why are you following me for? What are you after me for? And they say unto him, Rabbi, which is master, where dwellest thou? Where you live? Where do you stay? Where are we following you to? Verse 39, he saith to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, abode with them for that day, for it was about the 10th hour. I love this right here because Jesus is not trying to get them to fall in love with where he lives or his lifestyle. He wants them to fall in love with him. Jesus doesn't want you to fall in love with a lifestyle. He doesn't want you to fall in love with a building, a pastor, a choir, a singer, a group, a thing. He wants you to fall in love with Him. That way, if it remains and grows bigger, great. If it dissipates and goes away, great. Because you're still in Jesus. Amen? We're still in faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not in faith with this setting, this situation, this, if everything's this way. I hear this a lot when I'm ministering to people. Why did a God allow this to happen to me? Because He said, the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. He was very clear. He told Adam. If you go and look, reading that, you see Genesis chapter 2, He told him, He said, the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. You go into Genesis chapter 3, bam, they ate of the tree, and He said, you are going to die. Death is not beautiful. When sin entered into this world, everything's possible. But if you come to faith in Christ Jesus, some of y'all might want to take a note right there because life gets hard. When you come to Christ Jesus, it doesn't mean your troubles are going to go away. It just means you have somebody to go through the troubles with. It doesn't mean that death's not coming. It just means that death's not final. My gosh, if that right there, there's about six people in here, you could have stood straight up on your feet and said, praise God for that. Amen? But we're not just sitting here going, man, oh, so-and-so, we don't know where. I like to talk, when I talk about people that have passed that I know are born again and saved, I don't say they used to be. I say they are. They are good people. And they are in a great, great place compared to where we're at. Amen? I do. I get sad. I get broken. When somebody I love and care for passes away, it's hard. I love the relationship. I love what they meant to me. I love what they put into my life. I love what I could have gave to their life. But praise God, if they're saved, I'm kind of looking at the thing like, man, what are you doing right now? You know what I'm saying? What are you doing right now? That's the real thing, because to be honest with you, they're sitting there going, I ain't never coming back down there. And y'all have heard me preach this, and I don't like preaching stuff over and over and over, but I'm telling you, the maddest person in the book is Lazarus. Had to be. I guarantee you, when he's seen them two sisters, his and you, knuckleheads, right? Oh, if you had only been here, Jesus. He's like, I made it. He had a record and he was a friend of Jesus. If you are a friend of Christ, you have a promise of eternal life. He was on the other side. He's like, thank God. Man, I'm telling you, we should at a funeral. Man, I've been to one. I have been to one in my lifetime. One. I've been to one funeral. They got it right. I did. Well, good friend of mine, his dad passed away. This man is exciting anyway. He was an exciting kind of guy. But I remember going to the funeral, went to the funeral home. There's a line all the way out the door. And I was thinking, you know how you do when you're at the funeral home, you're in a line, you're sitting there going, what am I going to say to the people? I hope I don't say nothing stupid. You know what I'm saying? I hope I don't do anything dumb. And we were about to turn in the funeral home, and it sounded like a party was going on in there. I mean, they were like, man, I came out. Hey, man, good to see you, buddy. What's going on? Yeah, and I'm like, I got uncomfortable. I did. His name was Terry. I was about three rows from him, and I'm like, this guy's slapping people fives. Hey, man, how's it going? Man, it's good to see you, brother. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. And I got to him, and I said, Terry, man, I'm sorry about your dad. He goes, sorry about what? My dad was sick and failing and falling apart, and he died, and he's in the arms of Christ. We're celebrating. He made it. I mean, before I left there, I was happy as I can be. I said, could you be at the next 10 funerals that I go to? This is okay. But that's how it should be. If you know they got saved, praise God. I mean, you should be like going, man, the ones we should worry about right now is the people that are coming out of the womb. That's the ones I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? Amen? What are they going to do? And I'm praying for this generation. I'm praying for the little ones. Because everybody's like, man, yeah. I'm like, man, that's what we should be doing. But I love that. He said, come. He did. He wasn't selling them. He wasn't selling them on some of experience. He was selling himself of, if you get to know me, all the stuff won't matter. Man, if you really know Christ, I love Sunday night. I love Wednesday. If you really know Christ, really a whole lot of stuff shouldn't shake you. It shouldn't. I mean, literally, life should be. You should have a few highs and lows, but every once in a while you should just say this. Hey, God, I know Jesus. Amen? I mean, I know him. Praise God. He's using this to his glory. He's using everything I'm going through to his glory. He's either growing me, helping somebody else, or there's something going on. Man, he's big, man. But I know him. Amen? I mean, sometimes I go through some stuff, and I'll be in it 2 weeks, and I'm sitting there going, why did I not just rest in Christ in that? Why didn't I just say, you know what? What's the worst thing that's going to happen to me? I'm going to be in Christ Jesus. I love, man, when you meet him, he's like that, it's like special forces. He ain't trying to win you over. It's like that rich young ruler that came to him. You ever study that out? That rich young ruler made the best entrance. I promise you, if we had seen that rich young ruler, we'd have probably signed him up for everything. That joker come running, and he fell and slid down. That beats most of us right there. Slid at the feet of Christ. He goes, oh, good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? It sounded good, didn't it? I bet some people were going, man, that guy, he's got a lot of money. Look at him. He's bound down to Christ. Man, I bet he's a big believer. Amen? We let one Hollywood superstar say one thing about Jesus. We put them in the stamp of, oh, they're Christians now. And then all their albums and movies are garbage. But we're over here going like, remember he got that award and he thanked Jesus. I mean, it's got to be. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean hurt since I can. This fella right here, man, he makes an entry, slides all the way up in there and says, oh, good master, what do I got to do? And Jesus just says, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. So you better be calling me God if I'm good, right? He goes, keep all the commandments. Oh, he's, man, I love this guy. Have since my youth. Could we say that? Man, he just kept them all. I'm good. He said, well, all right, you're only lacking one thing. God's good, ain't he? He'll take you right to the woodshed. I mean, right to the one thing that you can't give. He takes him, hey, give all your money to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. If you really want to be a Christian, man, it ain't about what you got, it's about who you're following. And he didn't ask him anything that he wasn't going to do. Amen? You know what that man said? Got up, bowed his head, walked away. You know what the Bible says? Because he had much. He walked away from Jesus. You know what I noticed about that, about Christ? Jesus never said one thing. Hey, buddy, turn around here. Let's work it out. He let him walk away. You know why? Because he wasn't in love with him. He was in love with the idea if God done it his way, then he would be in love with God. God ain't never going to do it our way. Amen? God ain't going to do it our way. He does it his way. And his way is wonderful. His way is perfect. Amen? His way is perfect. Let's go a little bit further. I want y'all to see this. Verse 40. One of the two disciples heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. All right. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Andrew has a problem. This is his gift. Andrew is a connector. Amen? Andrew can't help himself. If he finds something that somebody else needs, he will make the connection. It's in his DNA. He can't help it. Andrew's like this. We found Jesus. Not true. Jesus found them. Right? He gets pointed after him, but the first thing he says, I've got to connect him with my brother. Amen? My brother needs to meet this Jesus. Amen? He couldn't help it. He is the same one who put the loaves and the fishes in the hand of Jesus. Amen? He's the same one. That's the same way he works. Can't help himself. As ludicrous and as crazy as it seemed when the little boy said, here's my lunch, something in Andrew said, this is stupid.
I shouldn't even bring this up to Jesus, but I must. Jesus, we have a boy here, and this is his lunch. And what are they among so many? And Jesus says, have everybody sit down. I've preached that a million times here. It never gets old to me. I love that. Andrew's connected, but could you imagine that little boy when he said, have everybody. That's 5,000. That's 15,000 people on the lowest end. Have 15,000 people sit down. I'm about to feed them with this boy's lunch. Man, praise God. I bet Andrew, I've said this ever since I've seen that. I bet Andrew's sitting there kicking himself. Why did I say, why is this so much? Why is this about so many? Why did I just leave that part out? I would look like a genius. Here's lunch, period. But I love Andrew. He couldn't help himself. And there's some of you in this room, all of you, really. You've got gifts. You've got talents. There's stuff that God, he ingrained in you. You do certain things, and you can't figure out why you do them. God placed that in you for his kingdom, his glory, to grow it, and you just do that. Just do it. That's why I need you. And you say, well, it ain't this or it ain't that. Andrew's not the big, we don't even really mention Andrew a lot. But he's connected so many good people together that that's what he does. Some people are just connectors, amen? Some people are just a conduit. But without conduit, you can't run power. Oh, sorry. Just made that last part up. verse 41. First he findeth his own brother Simon, and he saith, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Caiaphas, which is being interpreted the stone. Y'all see that right there? I love this. Jesus calls him by his name as soon as he says, you're Simon, you're going to be called this. We're going to kind of break this down just a little bit right here. I love this to the highest degree because once Jesus says that, you know he never changes his mind. Okay? He was always going to be the little rock. He was always going to be the lead apostle. He was always going to be the one that was kind of he was going to pass it to him and let him do the acts of the apostles. Amen? And that never changed. Some of y'all are sitting here looking at me like, so what does that mean? That should encourage you greatly. When you look at that and you see that he never changed his mind about Peter, never, not once, that means he never changed his mind about you, never, not once. Golly, is anybody in here saved, born again? Saved, I mean really saved, born again, love Jesus? He's never changed his mind about that for you. Is that a big deal? I mean, when he said, Peter, do you know what he was looking at? Do you know what he was looking at when he seen that? He's seen Peter's victories and failures. His successes. He said he's seen when he would be happy and say the right thing and be terrible and say the wrong thing. And he said, you're still Caiaphas. You're still going to be the little rock. Man, that means a lot to me. Amen? It should mean a lot to you. Because God has baked in the failure. Holy bull. What I would have said is, as long as you can perform, buddy, you'll be the leader. But if you start messing up, I'm going to replace you with a better leader. You know what he's really saying? I'm going to train you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to mold you. I'm going to make you a little rock. I'm going to make you a leader. You ain't going to feel like one. You ain't going to think you're one sometimes. But you're absolutely going to be one. Ain't that good? I mean, ain't that wonderful? I want to take y'all somewhere. Let's go over to Acts chapter 12. I think it's 12. I hope so. It'll be embarrassing if it ain't. Yeah, it is 12. Thank God. What mercy God has for me. Because I was thinking it could be 10. Now, we're at Acts chapter 12, 1. This is when Peter, when he calls Peter and all that stuff's baked in, he knew this day was coming too. Amen? Oh, gosh. Yeah. Is there anything in your Christian walk or any Christian faith that you said, man, if I'd have kind of knew that was coming, I don't know, that'd been kind of hard deal to, I'll take Jesus.
There's been a couple times as a Christian I thought, man, I'm glad you didn't tell me that was coming, Jesus, before it got here, because I'd have rocked my world. Amen? If I knew this thing and this thing and this thing were all going to happen, that'd have been tough. I don't know if you could have sold me if you just told me on the front end, hey, 2019, 2020. I'd been like, I don't know, Lord. I don't know if I can go through that. I ain't going to tell you about it, but I'm going to walk through it with you. Amen? Are y'all ready? Did y'all find Acts chapter 12? Good. I'm just going to use this as an example. I had another idea, but let's just do this. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. How's that? How about them apples? The book of Acts gets started off, and everybody's getting started in their ministry, and James, the other fisherman, gets his head whacked. Oh, golly. Well, geez, what are you going to have me do? What am I going to do in the New Testament? Well, you're going to get your head chopped off right there at the beginning. Herod's going to come down. He's got to pick one of you, and you're it. And you're like, man, that's sad for James. He didn't get to do anything. I guarantee you about half of them apostles and disciples going, man, James got out scot-free. Got out early. Amen? Right? I just like reading that. Let's go watch this right here. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Also then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when they had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered to the four quarterians at 16 soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Amen? Check that out. He puts him in prison four levels and 16 guards. There's four guards, right? I think that's right. 16 levels of guards and imprisonment all the way down to the bottom. For doing what? Healing people, preaching Jesus, loving on people. Man, when you start loving Jesus, boy, you're going to get put on the lockdown. I mean, all the way, you got 16 guards, and you're at the bottom of the prison locked up to two. I mean, you're not Charles Manson here. You're just helping people. You'd think, man, we talk about how things in the world, the things in the world don't change much, do they? We're letting people free who are evil, and we're treating people who are good like they are evil. Things are pretty much coming back full circle now, aren't they? We've got to, man, why in the world would we want, we don't want Christianity in our schools. We'd rather have shootings. We don't want Christianity, all that in here. We don't want people to lie, cheat, steal. What? Well, yeah, we wouldn't want any of that. We don't want the Ten Commandments up anywhere. Even though if we got to pass a million laws, and we can't even keep 10 great ones. I mean, just 10. Thou shalt not kill would be good. Sorry. Just takes you to silliness. Takes you, put him down there at the bottom of the prison. And they were, look at this right here, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Well, right, what a great Easter celebration. We're going to bring Peter up here and cut his head off too. What would y'all be doing about right now? What would y'all be doing? What if they come in here and grab me and cut my head off, and tomorrow or in 3 days from now, in a big celebration, you was next? Think about it. Death watch. You're up there in Nashville at River Bend Maximum Security Prison on the death watch, and in about 4 or 5 days, they're going to yank you out because they've already cut my head off, and you're next. What would you be doing? What would you be doing? Huh? Praying? You know what Peter's doing? What's this? Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. They had all got together in a house and started praying. What's this? And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Peter's catching up on some much-needed shut-eye. Wow, don't that challenge us? I'd be sitting down there going, make sure that phone line is connected to the governor's house just in case he calls. Golly, I wish y'all, man, do y'all see that right there? Ain't that sweet? Peter's like, man, finally a night off. Got him chained to two guards, and he's over here sawing logs. The church is gathered. over at Rhoda's place, and they're praying down heaven to get him out of there. And Peter's like, I want to go home. Or I can stay here. I'm fine either way. But I ain't losing no sleep over it. That should challenge us. What are you losing sleep over? What are you upset about? If God was going to take this man's head off that very night, the very next morning, and he's on death row, what's troubling you? We say we have faith, but we worry about everything. Here's this man. I hope they got replay in heaven. I want to see that. Y'all don't believe me, but it's a deep sleep. It ain't one of them. He's on death row. I mean, tomorrow he's going to lose his head. This guy wasn't going to not do it. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. He had to hit him. That reminds me of my mom back in middle school days. I was a terrible, get up and go to school, whack. Right? He's in there sleeping and he smites him in the side. Wake up, Peter! We're breaking out. Holy Ghost jailbreak. Stands up. How about this? Oh, never mind. The chains fell off. Man, that's good, ain't it? Is that your Bible? That's my Bible. Man, we're sitting here worried about, I don't know if they like me or not. He's about to lose his head. Peter's getting woke up in the middle of the night. Next thing you know, chains are falling off. Next thing we stand there with the Holy Host. And he just can't even get the sleep out of his eyes. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought, oh, this was a dream. When they were past first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to its own accord. And they went out and passed on the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know for surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. Man, verse 11 is awesome. God delivers from the expectations of people. Thank God. There's some people out there that their expectations of you is to fail. Thank God, God ain't going to meet their expectations. That right there is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. They were expecting one thing, and God said, I will not let you do it to my man or my woman. God, if y'all would just trust God, put your faith in Him, everything God wants to do in your life, He'll bring it to pass. Ain't that sweet? God, I love it. All them people expecting we're going to see his head roll. They're going to get him. And God's breaking him out that neck. He's standing outside the prison going, how did I do this? That's most stuff in Christ. Do you know that? People say, how do you do this? How do you do that? Just stay faithful to God. You'll be standing in things that you didn't even know how you got there. You weren't smart enough, good enough, done all that. You're just standing there because you love Jesus and he's good at it. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. What's this right here? And when Peter came to himself, in verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of Jonah, or the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying, and he knocked at the door of the gate. This is the best part. Do you have to believe in what you're praying for it to happen? Y'all want to jump on that limb? I bet y'all don't want to jump out on that limb tonight. Y'all already been 0 for 1. That's kidding. Do you have to believe in what you're praying? Y'all quiet. Boy, I'll tell you. Okay, all right, I'll take it. Watch this right here. What were they all gathered doing? Praying for what? Peter to be free? All right, hold on to your horses right here. They're in there praying all night long, fervent. God break him loose. God go get him. God help him. I bet some of them are in there going, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. You didn't help James. Sorry. That's just me being real. Watch this right here. Where are we at? Verse 13. God, how did I get way over there? And Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken. Her name was Rhoda. Rhoda walks out there. Rhoda. I love old little Rhoda. Rhoda walks out there. Oh, look. Rhoda sees Peter in his prison outfit. Right? Watch this right here. Verse 14, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the door. the door, the gate for gladness and ran in and told Peter stood before the gate. She heard his voice. It's Peter. He must got out of prison. I'll leave him out on the street. I got your Bible. It's right there. Runs in. I heard the voice of Peter. Our prayers have been answered. Oh, God, this is so fun. And they said unto her, thou art mad. In the English, that means you're crazy. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is an angel. Verse 16, this is so sweet. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. That was good. And they're praying all night long. God delivered. God knocks on the front door with his man. Everybody, I love the response, don't you? Peter's outside. What we've been praying for is standing at the front door. You crazy, girl. You're crazy. Your mama's crazy. I know you. No, he's standing right out here. No, that's an angel. Never mind, sorry. Then all of a sudden they go out there and you know what they say? Man, I'm astonished at how good God is. I know we got off on something here, but I want to ask you something. What should that make you really want to do from now on? Pray anyway. Don't that make sense? Because I can do that. I can absolutely get in prayer and be praying for something, and I know that's what I want. I know, listen, when they got in that room and started praying, God, I'm about to get in the Holy Spirit right here, and y'all going to be in trouble. But what they did, they said, well, they got to that house, and they said, this is the objective. Everybody in the room didn't believe the objective. But it's not about that. It was about the objective. The objective, and when they got together, one mind, one accord, and said, we're praying for Peter to get out, he didn't look at everybody in the room. He heard the prayer. Whew. Some of y'all need to pray despite how you feel. You might even have to say that out loud. God, here's the objective. Now, you're going to have to do it despite of who I am. And I don't mind looking crazy if you do answer. Amen? I don't mind being called crazy. If you do answer, and I don't believe it right away. Because I guarantee you, Rhoda told that story again. We prayed all night through. We prayed through with him. And when he came, I couldn't even hardly believe it myself. And everybody else called me crazy. And we all got showed up that night by God. Amen? But could you imagine Peter, if he would have told him, back there in John chapter 1, verse 37 or so, to 38, he looks at him and goes, you're going to be the leader of the church. And one night, your best friend's going to have his head cut off. Best friend and business partner is going to have his head cut off. And you're on the chopping block the very next night. But don't worry. When the Holy Spirit resides in you, you'll be able to sleep through that. Hits it and go, I don't want to sleep on death row. Amen? I thought this was a chance meeting. My brother Andrew came and got me and told me he found a Messiah. Now you're telling me you're going to be the leader, and now I don't even know what's going to happen. But now that I see this, this is going to be a process. Aren't you glad the process is going on with you? I'm not the same Christian I was August 28 of 04. I'm not even the same Christian I was a year ago. Amen? And I'm glad of that. God is constantly stretching, making, molding who we are. He takes everything that we think is the worst thing ever and making it great. And then the thing that we think is the best thing ever and making it awful. And I'm going to close with this awesome story I heard. Y'all want to hear it? And I'll close. This is how I close. It was this man. I guess it was over in Asia somewhere. And the man was an elderly guy. And he had a radish farm. Small little tract of land. And they raised radishes. And he had a son. The son got up to about 19 or 20 years old, and the father was very feeble. And they had one horse, and they had one plow, and they got all the radishes off that, barely enough radishes to take to market and to live every year. Well, one day the son got up and hooked up the horse and hooked up the plow, and he messed up in the hooking up of the horse, and all of a sudden, man, the horse cuts out and goes over the hill and out of sight. And he goes in and he says, Dad, it's over. The horses ran off. We're losing everything. This is the worst day ever. And the son and the father says, nah, I don't know, son. I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if this is the worst day ever. The son gets up the next day. The horse comes back over the hill. But following him is a whole herd of horses, wild horses that hooked up with the horse that had got loose and followed it home. And he opens the corral, and the horse is all running the corral. And he shuts it, and he goes, wow, best day ever. We're now in the horse business. Walks in and tells his dad, all these Arabian horses have come in, and my gosh, we're horse farmers. We're horse rich. We can sell them to some of the people that are in the battles and stuff like that. We've got it made. It's the best day. And his dad says, I don't know. I don't know if it's the best day or not, son. He's like, man, it's got to be the best day. Then about a few weeks later, he's out hooking up the horse to the plow again, and all of a sudden the horse just gets wild and kicks him and breaks his leg in half. And he pulls him into the house. They pull him into the house, and he's looking at his dad. He goes, we're done. We can't farm. We can't raise the horses. This is the worst day ever. And his dad goes, I don't know, son. I don't know if this is the worst day ever. A few days after that, an army rode in and said, we need your son for combat. We're going into a battle against a superior army, and we need as many soldiers as we can have. He said, I'm sorry, my son can't go. His leg's broken too. They left him there, and that group of military men run into a battle, and they were all killed. God is just like that older father. Everything ain't the worst, and everything ain't the best. God just uses every single bit of it to your honor. So when you're going through those days, you're sitting there going, man, this is the worst day of my life. Just go like this. Wait a minute. Maybe God's going to use this day to glorify himself and to grow me. Maybe I don't have to fuss and fight and cuss and throw and pitch a fit. Maybe I can just rest in Christ that he's good on the bad days. And then maybe on those good days when you think everything's going your way, maybe you see, say, maybe we'll just not throw a celebration every time we get up at the mountaintop because God's good there too. Amen? Maybe I'll enjoy this where I'm at right now so when the day that I'm real low, that I can remember God is good to me. Amen? I love when he calls Peter. He calls him and he says, you are going to be the leader of the New Testament. And he never changed his mind. And he hasn't changed his mind about us. That's concrete. That's solid. Have y'all learned something tonight? Put that in your head and your heart and wear it. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to stand tonight and share the Word of God. Man, what a comfort it is to know that you love us and you've called us and you've equipped us and you're making us and you've never changed your mind. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.